subject, and I want to finish this tonight, I promise, on the subject of making sense out of sickness, or how to overcome sickness, or how to live with it successfully. And I've been trying to give you 12 principles that the good Lord has helped, shown me that I've really tried to apply and live out in my life. And so I hope this will help you tonight. And here's one of the verses that I think inspired this study. And so I'll go through the 12. I only have one more. I've done 11 points so far. I only have one more to preach, and so I'll just hopefully just keep moving along tonight. Okay, notice the Bible says in Mark chapter number 12 and verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy what? Strength." In other words, with what strength you have, love the Lord. And maybe all you can do is pray. Maybe someday you're going to get to the point where you're on a bed of sickness and you can't do anything else but pray. If that's all the strength you have, use it for the Lord. Love the Lord with it. But this this verse of Scripture one time inspired me to start learning some things on how to live with myself and my physical limitations. I haven't always been the healthiest person to walk the earth. I've had very low energy all of my life. And yet, I was inspired by this verse a long, long time ago, decades ago, where it says, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy strength." The strength that God has given you, love Him with it. Love Him with it. And love is more than just lip service. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's obedience. And it's service and things like that. And so I began to try to find some principles, and every one of these 12 is based on Scripture, every one of them, that God has been teaching me, and it's really helped over the years. And then just a few months ago, I felt the Lord say, "Art, share these with the congregation." And so I was totaling up some things here in 24 years. As the pastor here, I have conducted 3,744 services. And that does not include revival services, daily vacation, Bible schools, missions conferences. That's just Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night services. In 24 years, I have conducted 3,744 of them. In all those years, I've missed six. Out of 3,744. Now, if you count revival meetings, daily vacation Bible schools, missions conferences, and so on and so forth, it's probably up closer to near 4,000 services I have conducted here at this church. I've missed six of them due to sickness. Three of them were because of back spasms. And I've felt that the Lord has even taught me. Now, that comes down to missing about one service every 4 years. One service every 4 years. Now, what I say is to the glory of God, because I don't consider myself a healthy person or a person with a lot of energy. I've had to just deal with some limitations in my life, but I looked to the Bible for answers. I looked to the Bible for answers, and I give God the glory for that. And so I'm going to review these. These are not necessarily in an order of importance. However, number 12 will be the most important. But number one was focus on production for God. Focus on production for God. God saved us to produce. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He saved you and I to produce. He didn't save us just so we could earn a lot of money and be entertained and eat food and sleep and just have a good time. No, He saved us so we could produce, so we could reproduce ourselves and others. And that means we're going to have to be in church and find out what our gifts and callings are and use them inside of the local church we attend, and learn how to minister outside of church by being a witness, by being a soul winner and a counselor and praying with people and sharing the gospel with people. Now, the Lord wants us to produce. There's something that Jesus Christ wants you to do. In the last book of the Bible, the Lord said, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." In 1 Corinthians 3, we are told that we will be judged someday at the judgment seat of Christ, not for salvation or heaven or hell, but for rewards, and the Lord will judge every man's work of what sort it is. So every one of us has a work to do. Like Nick Malucci said this morning, get started while you're a teenager. Get started while you're a child. He started while he was a teenager. He kept serving God through his 20s. I don't know if he's 30 yet or not. But that's good advice. I served the Lord when I was a teenager. I got away from the Lord for a little bit, came back. My 20s were great years where I had more energy than I've ever had. And we started the church and had wonderful days back then. Some of you were there, and I thank God for you. But focus on production for God. I'm supposed to love God with all of my strength. Now, I don't think I've ever done it before, but it's something that we're supposed to do. So run that ye may obtain. The Apostle Paul said he labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not him, but the grace of God that was with him. And that was a man who lived with physical infirmities. And yet he produced. He didn't complain, he produced. So focus on production for God. That's biblical. That's something that has helped me, where I've just kind of kept plodding along, doing something for God each day. Number two, stop sinning. This is something the Lord taught me, is stop sinning. I believe there's a direct correlation between sin and sickness. And I gave you many verses on that, Exodus 15, 26, Deuteronomy 7, 15, Deuteronomy 28, 60, Psalm 103 and verse 3. The Lord Jesus one time even said to a man, "Behold, thou art made whole," John 5, 14. "Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee." Now, not all sickness is caused by sin, but a lot of it is. A lot of it is. And I believe that if we could stop sinning, we would, in general, be healthier people. Be healthier people. And so the Lord gave me some verses that affected me. And he said in 1 Corinthians 11, if we should judge ourselves, then we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened to the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Weakness, sickness often comes because a believer just never judges himself and says, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sins." But the Bible says if we will judge ourselves, then we should not be judged. But if we don't judge ourselves, then God chastens us with weakness, sickness, sometimes sleep. So it's biblical. Stop sinning. Stop sinning. And repent of sin. And don't keep doing the same things over and over again. Don't keep hurting other people over and over again. Stop it. Just stop it. And, you know, for your health's sake, we're trying to make sense out of sickness here tonight, and that was one of the principles God showed me. Number three is pray for protection. Pray for protection. We're supposed to pray about everything. And we saw a couple weeks ago in church in 2 Corinthians 16 and verse number 12 about Asa, King Asa. It says, in his sickness he went to the physician, but not to the Lord, and he died of his disease. And he was a good man. But God pointed out in our lives that he ran to human help. He ran to physicians first before going to the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to go straight to God, and not to the medicine cabinet, and not to the doctors, but we need to go directly to God immediately when we feel ourselves getting sick and so on and so forth. Pray for protection. Job was a very healthy man because God put a hedge of protection around that man. That's what the Bible says in Job chapter 1 and verses 10 through 11. In Job chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. In fact, Satan came and said, the reason he's so healthy and so prosperous is because you haven't let me touch him. And so God took the hedge away for a little while to try Job. To try Job, and then he got sick with boils from the top of his crown to the bottom of his foot. But you notice that God can protect us from Satan. God can protect us. It says in James 5:13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. We're supposed to pray about this matter. And pray for protection. We have not because we ask not. We heard a testimony tonight about safety in travel and how God took a jackknife tractor trailer that was sliding towards one of our church members and pushed it to the side so she wasn't hurt or killed. Amen. You know something? That's an answer to prayer. You know, big jackknife tractor trailer, I think all of us would pray. But you know, there's viruses, you can get about 200 million viruses on the head of a pin. We ought to pray about that too. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I've prayed a prayer like this. Lord, protect me from germs and flus and fevers and diseases and bacteria and infections and so on and so forth. Hundreds of times. Why not? Why not pray for protection? Not just while we're driving, but for our health. Lord, please protect my wife from diseases and fevers and colds and flus and viruses and infections and so on and so forth. I'm serious. I base that on the Bible. I don't know. Something is working for me. And I want to encourage you to think about these things. And then number four, fasting. In Isaiah 58 and verse 8, the Bible says, then shall thy health spring forth speedily. If you'll fast, that means to go without food for a season, maybe one meal, maybe two meals or something, maybe a day. Sometimes people fast for 3 days. One of our members just fasted, I think, for 7 days. And I heard about a man who just went through a 40-day fast. I just drink distilled water while I'm fasting, or sometimes straight aloe vera juice. You can get it at Walmart. It's good for my stomach. That's why I drink it. I don't know if it helped you or not, but fasting and this will help your health spring forth speedily. I've increased my fasting from 1 day a week to 2 days a week. I've done that for several years now, where I spend at least 2 24-hour periods every week without eating any food, and just sometimes I don't have a spiritual reason. I just have a physical reason. Just to give my stomach a rest, just to give the large intestines and the small intestines a rest. Yeah, I know you're going to get a dull headache, and you're going to get a fat tongue, and you're going to feel a little bit weak, but then you take a nap, and it's amazing how it does make you feel better. The Bible says fasting will help you, and there's times where we've got to give the internal muscles of our body a break, and flush them out. And you'd be surprised at how that will help you feel better. And then number five, I use these words under number five, slay the giant of depression. Slay the giant of depression. Depression will make you sick. Depression will make you sick. Now the word depression is not found in the Bible. The synonym in the Bible is heaviness. Heaviness. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it to stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. It goes on to talk about how it dries the bones, and I really think that's a reference to osteoporosis and heaviness. And we need to slay the giant of depression. Every time it rears its ugly head, we need to combat it. Isaiah 61. Verses 1 through 3 tell us the anecdote. It says that God has given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You need to wrap yourself up in praise of God. The power of praise will lift a heavy spirit. A heavy spirit is no good for you physically. That depression is usually brought on by Satan, self-pity, or pride. Occasionally, there's people who do have some chemical problem in their body that brings that on, and I know it's different too in males and females. It's different, and there's certain, you know, hormones that release itself, and sometimes it can be depressing. One of the reasons why I don't eat ham or pork anymore is because I noticed every single time I ate it, I would go into a little season of depression for a while. It's just how it affected me, and I don't want to be depressed. And the Bible says, wrap yourself up in the garment of praise. I know a pastor who went through a 2-year battle with depression. Charles Spurgeon used to take months off at a time because his depression was so great. I heard of another pastor who recently took a 3-month sabbatical from the ministry because he was overwhelmed, and so on. And we need to praise. Praise drives away the spirit of heaviness. That's what he said in Isaiah 61, verse 1 through 3. And I promise you, if you're depressed, if you'll just get on your knees and just begin to praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him for all of your physical blessings, like someone said today, talking about, they were visiting in the nursing home Thursday, and there's a lady on the bed, and not one of her 4 children ever come to see her. And she can't talk, and so on and so forth. You know, I grew up in the nursing homes. I mean, I brought my kids up in the nursing homes. And boy, you go to those. We used to go every week and put on an hour program when my kids were little. It's hard to complain about your health when you go there every week and see those people. And you can thank the Lord for your physical blessings, all of your material blessings, all of your spiritual blessings, if anything. It ought to just revive you just to thank God you're saved. That ought to bring a revival and chase that depression away. So wrap yourself, the Lord said, in the garment of praise. And then number 6 is show character. Show character. This is something that, again, is based on Scripture that we can all do. I think of the Apostle Paul and his benediction in the last book he wrote, 2 Timothy chapter 4. When he said in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Think of what he said here. I've finished my course. I've finished my course. Now, that's a man who began his course with physical infirmities and begged God 3 times to heal him. You can read the testimony in 2 Corinthians 12. The Lord said no. And my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so he had a change of mind. He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rejoice in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, for when I am weak, then he is strong." And see, he had an attitude change. Listen, Paul, when Stephen was stoned, it describes him as a young man. They laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. In Philemon, the Bible describes Paul this way, as Paul the aged. So Paul went from being an old young man to an old man, and we read a lot about his life in the Bible. So he went from being a young man to an old man with an infirmity in the flesh all the time, and yet he said, "I finished my course. I finished my course." You know what that is? That's character. That's character. Sometimes you just got to show character. And you just got to say, "I'm not going to let this sore throat stop me. I'm going to let this little sniffle stop me. I'm not going to let this headache stop me. I'm not going to let these sore joints stop me. I'm not going to let a little upset stomach or a little cold stop me or a mild toothache stop me. I'm not going to let these things stop me." If Paul's infirmity in the flesh made those in Galatians feel so bad they wish they could have given him their own eyes, if his was that severe and nothing stopped him and he finished his course, "But I'm not going to let some little thing stop me." Amen? It's character. We need to show some character if we're going to get to the finish line of our lives. And say, "I'm not going to let some physical infirmities stop me." Number 7, sleep. There's one we like. The Bible talks about sweet sleep 3 times. And I won't go through all the verses, but he gives his beloved sleep. You need to get adequate rest, but not be a sluggard. And so we tried to balance that doctrine of getting adequate rest and not being a sluggard. I remember learning that, and I take a nap. I'm very good at it. It's just one of the things I've perfected. Amen. And I say to my wife almost every day, "I'm going to do what I do best." And that is to take a nap. And it's 15, 20 minutes or something, and whatever, sometimes a little longer, but it just freshens me so I can get another 4 or 5 hours out of that day and do something. And I remember Ann, some of you remember Ann Verkowski, a young lady in our church, went off to Bible college, and she later married Craig Durham, and now she's a pastor's wife, but she went off to Hiles Anderson Bible College, and I remember her coming back one time from Bible college and saying, "Ann, what did you learn at Bible college?" And she told me, she said, "Well, one of the things I remember is one of my teachers said this, that one of the most spiritual things you can ever do in your life is take a nap." I said, "Boy, that's good. I'm going to remember that one." One of those spiritual things. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. They don't belong to us. They belong to Him. We ought to take care of them. And sometimes we just need to take a nap. Now, don't be a slugger. We balance verses when we cover this one about being a slugger and then getting proper sleep, the sweet sleep of God. The sleep of a laboring man shall be sweet, Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 12. And then, was that number 7? Number 8, be careful. Be careful. I can't stress this one enough. The Lord taught me this principle when I was reading one time in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 17. Here's a verse that I read for years that didn't mean a thing to me. But all of a sudden I came across it one day, and it says in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 17, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" Some people die before their time because they're just foolish. Just foolish. And sometimes people do foolish things to try to impress their friends or something. And they end up getting hurt or injured. Sometimes for a lifetime. Another verse never meant a thing to me, but it helped me understand number 8, be careful. It was Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 9. "Whoso removeth stone shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby." I read that for years and said, "Oh, what an observation." But I believe he's just saying here, be careful. Be careful. And this came to me. I don't know how many of you have ever had back spasms in your life. I know there's things worse. But boy, I don't know if there's many things worse. And so I just figured out what it was that brought about back spasms in my life, and I quit doing it. Made sense? Because every time I got back spasms because I did something foolish. I twisted too fast. I picked up something wrong. I got angry or something, tried moving something real fast. And and the next thing you know, you twist your back, and the spasms are actually God's way of trying to straighten your backbone out again. And it's just amazing when I had it explained to me how God uses that to shift things around and get you back in line and to teach you some humility at the same time. Mephibosheth was lame on his feet for all of his life because his nurse was carrying him once, 2 Samuel 4:4, and she tripped and fell. We need to be careful with our children. You be careful with what we let them participate in. And so on. And so be careful. Be careful. It can help you slips and falls and things like that. Watch where you're walking. Watch how you're walking. And don't try to impress your friends. They're not impressed anyways. Number 9, exercise. Exercise. We've been taught this since we were little kids in school. And yet we're often negligent of exercising. 60% of Americans get no exercise at all. First Timothy 4 and verse 8 says, "Bodily exercise profiteth little." Now again, that was written when the Greek gymnasiums, and my wife and I saw these when we were in Greece, and they just worshipped the human body. They actually put statues of naked men all over the country because that's what they worshipped. And that's where we get the term chisel from when we talk about men who are muscular. Oh, he's chiseled. Well, we shouldn't talk like that about people. We get that from Greece. And so in Paul's day, the Greek culture had spread all over the world, and they were worshiping the human body, and their whole lives were put into exercise. So when he said bodily exercise profits little, keep in mind he was talking to a world where that's all they were doing. But see, now we take it, and we say, "Oh, good, it looks like I don't have to exercise." Well, you do. This is today's Parade magazine. Just came out in the newspaper today. I don't suggest reading it, but there is an article on the inside. It says here, "You can stop normal aging." And over here, It says in big bold letters, when you don't exercise, your muscles let out a steady trickle of chemicals that tell every cell to decay day after day after day. Let me read that again. When you don't exercise, your muscles let out a steady trickle of chemicals that tell your cells to decay day after day after day. When you don't exercise. We need to exercise. And that's just the way God made us. And then number nine, we talked about nutrition. And these might be a little bit out of the order that I gave them to you in. We talked about nutrition and the need. Now, I mentioned last week, try to eat a lot of raw fruits and a lot of raw vegetables. Even if you eat raw fruits and raw vegetables washed, still you lose 70% of the nutrients in the digestive process. And that's raw fruits and raw vegetables. You lose 70% of the nutrients in the digestive process. Cooked foods, there's hardly any nutrients left at all. Potatoes, I'm talking about things that are boiled, steamed, broiled, toasted, whatever. Open charcoal pits and so on and so forth. See, all life begins to die right around 107%. And I don't know all the chemistry and everything of vitamins and minerals and proteins and enzymes. I just know that our body needs them. And the living ones are the best. And if 70% of those nutrients are lost when we eat raw food, what do we get out of cooked food? Now, cooked food's not going to kill you. It's just not going to help you as much as raw food is. So try to get some raw food into your lives and into your children every day. Raw fruits, raw vegetables. Be sure you wash them because of the herbicides, insecticides, pesticides that are sprayed on them often within 2 days of harvest. Wash them. But try to get some fruit. And then watch what you drink, because what you drink is assimilated into your bloodstream more than what you eat. What you drink is more important than what you eat. We talked about the average can of pop, Pepsi, Coke, you name it, has 11 teaspoons of refined, colored, toxic sugar. It's not like the pure cane sugar you get from nature or from maple syrup or honey or fruits and vegetables or something. This stuff's been tampered with. It's not good for you. It'll affect your pancreas. And the same thing with diet pops, sodas, whatever you want to call them. So watch what you drink. And if you can juice your vegetables, if you can juice your fruits and drink them, they're going to assimilate from your stomach and through your intestine walls into your bloodstream a lot faster, juices will, than food. So try to drink natural juices. And this way here, you keep Kelly supported. Amen? But try to keep drink natural juices. Watch out for fruit drinks. They're just loaded. See, these are the things I think that are killing people, is food colors, preservatives, additives, and sugar. If not killing them, draining their energy, because the body has to work harder to fight these toxins and to get them out of your system, because God never intended for those to be assimilated into our bodies and to be filtered by the liver and so on, pancreas, those things. And so you've got to eat some raw fruits and raw vegetables and try to avoid junk food. This article here, again, this is just the world, but they're catching on too. There's a lot of organic, you know, there's things, but the article is called, "You Can Stop Normal," and normal is in quotes, "aging." You can stop normal aging. Now listen to this, see if I didn't share this with you last week. It says this, "Most aging is just the dry rot we program into our cells by sedentary living, junk food, and stress." Most aging is just the dry rot we program into our cells by sedentary living, junk food, and stress. Listen to this. You replace about 1% of your cells every day. Look down at your legs and realize you'll have new ones by the 4th of July. Something else? Think about it. 300 million cells die every 60 seconds. And they are either replaced with a superior cell that you have fed good food to, or an inferior cell that you have fed junk food to. And sugar is a great culture for germs, bacteria, and viruses to live in. Those scavengers that God created, germs, bacteria, and viruses, love sugar. The more sugar you put in your body, the more fertile field you have provided for germs, viruses, and bacteria to thrive in. The less you put in, the less they're going to say, I'm going to go bother someone else. There's no field here to live in. And so, on nutrition, I don't want to go on with that. Was that, what number was that? That was number 10? Okay, here's number 11. What I call little things. I haven't preached this one, but I'm just going to be done in a few minutes. Little things. All right, now here's where Pastor Cole really gets weird. Okay? Prayer isn't enough. We need to put feet to our prayers. And that includes the things like we eat and drink and so on. But there's little things. Use different toothbrushes. I have three toothbrushes. I never use the same one twice. I read a study. It looked like a good study. I don't know. You never know what to believe out there. But about how germs can live on a toothbrush up to 24 hours. I have three toothbrushes lined up by my sink, and I use one. I turn it backwards so I don't use it again. Then I'll use the second one, turn it back, use the third one. Turn it backwards. Use different towels. In our family, we had five people growing up. We all had designated different towels. We never shared towels. We all had different towels that we wiped our hands on. Use hand sanitizers when you don't have soap available to wash your hands. Carry hand sanitizers with you to restaurants. Carry them with you in your car and so on and so forth. They make these hand sanitizers now. They're easy. You've got pumps on them and stuff. You just pump that into your hand. You go to any hospital, and they'll have every hallway lined with these things. These hand sanitizers nowadays. And you just hit the thing there, and it just kills 99.9% germs. That's what they claim. I don't know if it's true. Because this is where most of our sickness comes, by taking our hands and putting it up to our nostrils, our mouth, or our eyes. This is how we get transferred most of the germs and viruses and so on, bacteria, into our bodies. And so use hand sanitizers. If you go to the restaurant, go to the smorgasbord. Do you know how many people have used those spoons loading up at the King Buffet? You know how many people have used those spoons before you got it? Then you get back to your table, boy, it's time to get the hand sanitizer out. And go to work on your food. I'm telling you, these things. Keep clean. The Bible talks about being clean by washing yourselves under running water. I hope we know that in America. But some people don't know that. Some people don't know that. They don't know to wash in running water. And thank God for showers and hot water heaters. Clean your sheets, pillowcases. You sleep there 8 hours a day. Change them off in your pillowcases. You're breathing into the thing all night long. And another thing they're talking about now is sneeze into your arm, okay, like that. When you sneeze into your shirt or suit or whatever you have on. When you wash your hands, if you're using sinks that have paddles on them, use your elbows to shut the paddles off, because you don't know what's on those. You can just get done washing your hands and push the paddles back, and who knows how many other people have used that to turn them on right after they went to the bathroom. You know, you're in a public restroom or something. So here you wash your hands and you shut them off. Use your elbows. Going out of a bathroom in a public place, wash your hands. Use the paper towels or something like that, and then use the paper towel to open the door. Stick your foot in the door and throw the paper towel in the garbage and walk out. You know how many people have gone to the bathroom, didn't even wash their hands, and then walked out the door? See, I think these things have helped me. I know you think I'm probably losing it here. But these things, I think, have helped me over the years, learning these things. If I don't have a paper towel, I'll walk out of a bathroom like this. I'll grab the handle like that, open the thing, And you gotta become conscious of your hands and where they've been and so on and so forth, what they have touched. Little things like that. Now, most important, I think, in making sense out of sickness and overcoming sickness and doing something big for God in your life is number 12, love God and love the brethren. I'll tell you why I've conducted 3,744 services in a row here and only missed six, not in a row, but I've only missed six that I know of in 24 years. Once every 4 years have I missed a service. And some of them was because of back spasms and I couldn't even walk. But one of the reasons, because I love God and I love the brethren. I love God, and when you love somebody, when you really love somebody, okay, and you're not faking it, you want to be around. You want to be around the people you love. You want to be around the God you love. I don't want to miss church because God might say something to me, and I want to be there to hear it. It might be one word. It might be one phrase. It might be one sentence. And I want to be there to hear what God says to me. And the Bible says we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You know, I think you'd question my love if I never went home to my wife at night. Wouldn't you? I think you'd question my love if I never went home to my family at night. You know, and if you heard a story and said, you know, Pastor Cole hasn't been home in 2 weeks to see his wife and kids. You know, while they were growing up, they're older now, but if I hadn't been home in 2 or 3 weeks to see my wife and kids, would you think, you know, that guy's really in love with his wife and kids? Would you think that? You wouldn't think that, would you? You wouldn't think that. You know why most people miss church and miss fellowship? They're lacking love. They're lacking love. And I believe this has been my motivation. All 12 of these I've tried to base on Scripture. Principles. God has helped me in living with sickness because it's a sick world. Let's not kid each other. It's just an adversary. It's just a weight we have to carry in our service for God, but I am not going to let it stop me. And so I've learned some things based on Scriptures. And I believe the greatest motivation is love. If I can love God and love my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I mean, really love them, not give it lip service, but love the church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I should do the same. He is my example in all things, and that's the most important thing. So that even if I'm sick, I just say, Lord, I love you, and I love the church. I want to be there. I want to be there and see what God can do through us, all right? So I hope that this course has been a blessing to you. I hope you can begin to apply some of these things to your family, make some changes, and we're going to just take a moment and pray about it here, or pray about anything on your heart, or pray for some people you're inviting to the anniversary that maybe they'll come, maybe this one Sunday.